Body Ecology's detoxification training program. We've just completed 4 great classes, and in today's class, you're in for a treat, because joining Donna Gates is our special guest, Dr. Darren Weissman. Today, Donna and Dr. Weissman are going to cover how detoxifying your mind can detoxify your body. Before we jump into what I know is going to be an exciting class, I'd like to introduce Dr. Darren Weissman. Darren is an internationally renowned holistic physician, speaker, educator, and developer of the Lifeline Technique, which you'll learn more about today. He's also the author of The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude, published by Hay House. Dr. Weissman has practiced holistic medicine for 14 years, and he has a health center in Northbrook, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, which is called The Way to Optimal Health. Donna and Darren, thank you for being here to discuss how important emotions are in health and well-being.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, me too, ditto.
Great. Well, let's get started. Donna, I wanted to start with a question for you, and that is, when I took your training a while back, one of the things that you opened my mind to is the importance of emotions in good health. What are the patterns that you've seen in your clients who are making progress, but it still seems like they're being held back by something that might be emotional?
Well, I have watched people for years and years and years, you know, and they've told me over and over again that they've read the book. It makes lots of sense. They absolutely want to do this, and they maybe even get some products and start making changes. But a few months later, a few weeks later, they're off track again, and then they'll try to go back. And so I've had many people tell me, oh, I did the diet for 3 months, but then something happened, and, you know, I want to get back to it, but Christmas came or whatever. And, you know, I've thought for years, wondered for years, what is the answer for willpower? Like, what would give people the willpower to actually stay on something they know is right for them? And then finally I met Darren, Dr. Darren Weissman, and I love what he does because he goes, has a technique for going into those core limiting beliefs that are in our subconscious mind that are sabotaging. They sabotage us all the time. They, you know, they pull the rug out from under us. We say we're going to do this, and the next thing we know, we're not doing it. I was speaking recently to a friend, and she has these wonderful racehorses, and she takes really good care of her racehorses. I mean, they get massages and the best food in the world and stem cells and everything you could possibly give them, and yet she doesn't do that for herself. Now, she wants to do it for herself, but she doesn't do it. What is it in her subconscious mind that keeps her from taking care of herself? And that's where the Lifeline Technique comes in. And so I think that's a good answer.
That's great.
Right there. The emotional part is really more important than the physical part. You've got to deal with that as well, and you do have to eat right, but you've got to get rid of those negative beliefs that are holding us back.
Thank you. And Darren, when did you first realize how important emotions were in physical health and well-being?
You know, Heather and Dana, it was really there's been a multiple-stage process of my own personal awakening of the importance of emotion and that interplay and how it impacts our body, how it impacts our life. One of the crucial awakening points for me was recognized when I saw how Dr. Emoto demonstrated the impact of thoughts and emotions, words, beliefs, intention on water. And so Dr. Emoto, who wanted to find out if water has consciousness, simply evaluated how the structure of water is impacted by how people think, the words that they use. So he would have people think positive thoughts like hope or peace or gratitude or forgiveness. And he had this type of microscope that's called the dark field microscope. It allows a person to see the water in its crystalline formation, in its living formation. And he found that when people were in this positive state, as like what Don was saying, you know, you get the negative out, when they're in this positive state, the water molecules were these gorgeous crystalline structures. If you go to hado.com, H-A-D-O.com, you'll see a lot of Dr. Emoto's work, and many people these days know who Dr. Emoto is. He's a conscious visionary. But when people would be in a place of of insecurity or fear, low self-esteem, anger, rage, that beautiful crystalline structure of that water would immediately break down. And it would lose its structure, it would lose its vitality. Well, I immediately thought, well, you know, what's the body made of? Well, it's made of mostly water. Two-thirds of the body is water, two-thirds of the earth is water. And so I was thinking, well, here's our conscious thoughts in any given moment. We're feeling happy, we're feeling sad, we're feeling, you know, feeling powerful and confident, or we're feeling insecure or less than. And that impact on the water that makes up our body. But as Donna was saying, most of our mind is not conscious. Most of our mind is actually below conscious. It's subconscious. And so it's not really the thoughts that you're thinking in your conscious mind. It's what thoughts, what feelings, what beliefs have been held in your subconscious mind. Because when there's an environment that activates those different emotions, those thoughts, those feelings, those actions that have been buried in our subconscious, they will immediately have an impact on the water that makes up our body. And as a result, then have a direct result on our health, our physical health, our relationship health, our behavioral health. And so, you know, that was one of the stepping stones as far as just concretely seeing, you know, how that impacts. And my own personal awakening of the Lifeline technique, which ultimately is a tool, a technology that anyone can learn, it helps you to get to the root emotions that are buried in the subconscious mind, that when these emotions are activated by your environment, they have an impact on our body. So people might have digestive challenges. People might have immune challenges. People might have bipolar or depression or anxiety or, you know, different aspects of addiction. No one would ever choose to have any of those symptoms, any of those diseases. If we had a choice at going out to a restaurant where we could choose our favorite thing to eat or the worst thing on the menu, you would never tell the waiter or the waitress, you know, I want the worst thing on your restaurant. You'd always pick the best thing. And so when we're in an experience that's other than our most powerful self, we know that that's not conscious. We know that that's coming from within us, but it's subconscious. It's like a submarine. It's below the surface. And those are the emotions that are buried within our subconscious mind that ultimately speak to each and every one of us as a particular symptom or a stress.
Thank you, Darren. What I find so interesting about your process in understanding how emotions affect health is this idea of the conscious and subconscious mind. Because what Donna was saying earlier was, you know, I want to do it, right? People are saying they want to do it, but the rug is always pulled out from under them, and that's the subconscious mind. How powerful is the subconscious mind? How much of our thoughts are subconscious as opposed to conscious?
The subconscious mind is infinitely powerful. It's infinitely powerful. It is the magnificent conductor of an orchestra or a symphony that controls each and every one of the cells of our body. And if we just take a moment just to appreciate, you know, what that means, you know, anybody that might be a business owner, you know, out there right now listening on this call, if you were to manage one person in your office or five people, or let's say really big companies have 10,000 people or 20,000 people in a company, such as like an IBM or something like that, the human body has 50-plus trillion cells. And so you don't tell your heart to beat, your hair to grow. You don't tell your eyes to dilate or constrict. You don't tell your liver to detoxify, your hormones to fluctuate or to respond to different aspects of stress. Your body has an automatic, autonomic, reflexive system that is guided through the subconscious mind. And it orchestrates individually and collectively each one of the cells. And so the key thing about this is not only is it managing this in a harmonious way, just like the seasons in nature, you know, naturally flow, each one of the parts of the body naturally flows, but the subconscious mind is also where every memory, every emotion, every experience you've ever had, that's where they're held. And the emotions, the memories that we've never processed, that have never been integrated into the wholeness of our being, those, when they're triggered, and because they're not conscious yet, our body, this is so interesting, because our body and our brain don't know the difference between imagination, memory, or reality, like that old commercial, is it live or is it Memorex? The body and the brain can't tell when something's coming from the subconscious mind or something that's actually happening or something coming to reality. When something gets triggered, our body responds as if that emotional experience that's never been processed, if it's actually going on for the first time. And it will go over, it will react. It will do the same action over and over again. And so people that might suffer with, I just can't seem to, get this heart condition under control, or, I had cancer and, I've done all these different things, but it keeps coming back, or the anxiety or the phobia or the allergies, it keeps coming back. It's what's the triggering factor? What's getting activated in the subconscious mind? And so because the subconscious mind, it's really anywhere between 90 and 98% of our mind's function and application, and the conscious mind is, anywhere between 2 and 10%, if you're going to do a tug of war between the conscious and subconscious mind, the subconscious mind will always win. So, Don was saying, here's this person who, has these horses, and she feeds them great, and she does all these different beautiful things for them, but she doesn't do them for herself, and she might follow this person, and many people can relate to this. I start on this particular program, and I so recognize the immense value of the Pod Body Ecology program. I recommend it to every one of my clients. I teach it and promote it at every one of my trainings, while at the same time, food is so intimately associated with emotion and memories and family and traditions that when there's patterns of reaction emotionally that have been buried in the subconscious mind, it will cause a person to now go into a place of, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, if only I were more, even though they're in this place where, life is good and things are great. Why am I self-sabotaging myself? Why am I defeating myself? Why am I not feeling good enough? These are subconscious patterns. So the Lifeline Technique is such a great vehicle to bridge the gap between the conscious and subconscious mind, so people can then observe those patterns of reaction and choose outside of their, regardless of their environment, regardless of certain circumstances, and really be in their power. And that way, now they can begin to implement this immense life-changing system of the Body Ecology Program.
So, in other words, I could have an experience when I was 5 years old and that sort of didn't go very well for me, and then I can be 40 years old and be sort of my subconscious mind, that five-year-old part of me, is now what's in action when something happens.
That's exactly right. And what's neat about it is that that five-year young part of ourself is in this stress response. It's in this this type of survival, fright, fight, or flight, perceived traumatic type of environment. And when that part gets activated, here we are at 40 years of age, the body goes into that stress response. And what happens is, in a stress response is good for a short amount of time. So I go into a protective mode, I begin to shut down, my system begins to contract, I respond properly, but people have so many different subconscious patterns on an emotional level that they're disconnected from, that the stress response is now running 24/7. And we cannot possibly run at our full speed for a marathon. The full speed is for a 50-yard dash. It's not a marathon. It's almost like here you see an Olympic athlete, and they're about to go running, and the starter person gets, on your marks, get set. And they don't say go. And on your marks, they're jumping around, and they're getting ready, they're loosed up. And when they say get set, every muscle in their body contracts. Every aspect of that person is ready for action. But if you don't say go, even the most amazing athletes after a while will begin to break down. Now you bring it to a regular person who in their life is at a get set all the time. And so they're reacting so intensely, and the system starts to break down. And the adrenals begin to fatigue, and the hormones are fluctuating in all kinds of funky ways. And our heart is activated and running at a heightened response, and our immune system says, I don't need to fight an infection right now. I need to fight this perceived tiger or, you know, run this race. And so it becomes this activated pattern rather than this, you know, our body, every cell in our body is designed to heal, completely regenerate, and be whole. And so, yeah, we can't heal and regenerate in the same breath as we're degenerating. We're going one way or the other. And so when these patterns are activated, that five-year young part of us, boom, we're in the survival mode. And as I was saying, when the brain and body don't know the difference between that part that's being triggered in the memory, then our body responds as if it's going on, and then that turns into the self-destructive pattern. That turns into the allergy. That turns into the digestive challenge. So the beauty, what I've loved, when I first, you know, I've been looking around for all of these different eating programs, and there's so many different eating programs that are out there, and they all have really powerful value. But the challenge I've found is they're good for this person, but not good for that person. Good for this person, not good for that person. The beautiful thing about the Body Ecology Program is that it's not just a one-shot system. It integrates all of these ancient arts with this modern-day way of understanding functional physiology and behavior and so forth and so on. It gives people real solid strategies to empower themselves with healthy food choices that not only will change your health and your life for healing, but it tastes yummy. I love it. And if you choose to do it and then you integrate it with the Lifeline technique, it's a slam dunk. It will change your life in every way. So beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching that. I've got two friends that are twins. They're certified body ecologists, actually. And they have both put on too much weight. They love body ecology. They've turned probably thousands of people onto body ecology in there because they both have clinics and work with people constantly all day long and have for probably 10 years. So one of them began doing the Lifeline technique, and she is she's only done 3 sessions, and she has lost so much weight because all that stuff that's in their early childhood years has just sort of faded away, and now she's finding that she can really stick to the program, and I'm so proud of her. But you know, these are twins, which is, you know, when you're doing research, it's always kind of nice to have twins. I could give many, many examples of people that I've just watched them change over time. Now, what I find is interesting is sometimes the changes are slow, steady, and subtle, and other times they're just dramatic, like the person the next day is acting completely differently. So can you kind of speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's such a great point because I think in our quick fix world where people are looking to have things happen yesterday, it's always fascinating as far as how the mind will unfold. When I do a Lifeline session on somebody, one of the biggest things that I do is I help a person set an intention. And intention is interesting because intention is about where I'm going rather than what I'm getting rid of. And a real powerful intention is made with as if I'm already there. And what I find is many people have a hard time living an intentional life. More people make intentions about, well, I don't want to have the headache. And I know, and as I was saying, it's like no one would ever choose to have a headache. No one ever chooses to have cancer. No one ever chooses to be abused. No one ever chooses to have depressive thoughts. However, we don't get to choose what happens to us in our life, and that's an intense thing. But we do get to choose how we respond. And so, and I want to say that again, we don't get to choose what happens in our life, but we do have a choice in how we respond. And so, in this world that right now is filled with a lot of stress, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of frustrations and angers and even hatred and horrific type of inhumane things that go on in the world, We would never choose that. However, how do you want to respond? When I'm guiding somebody to set an intention, I always have them set the intention about where they're going as if they're already there. So if once again, I use the analogy about we're out to eat, and, you know, here's the waitress or the waiter, and you wouldn't say, I don't want the chicken, and I don't want the pasta, and I don't want the beef, and I don't want that. You would tell them exactly what you want. And so when we set an intention, I'm always looking to guide a person in setting an intention that's based upon love. And what is perceived to be love on one level, many times is an intention based out of fear. Many times it's the intention of, you know, well, my intention is to be in this joyful place. And then I ask them simply, well, why are you feeling joy in that place? And they would say, because I'm no longer having headaches. I'm no longer beating myself up. And then once again, that intention isn't about where they're going as if they're already there. It's about getting away from something that they don't want anymore. And so I find that people that don't have responses to the lifeline that are, boom, knock it out of the park, the intention has not been clarified in a real honed-in way where it's about really making that intention out of love, because love's the one thing that's everything. It's the bridge that connects everything, everyone, everywhere, all the time. And it's the most sustainable and the only real sustainable fuel that when we are in a state or space of love, our body can't help but be the self-healing organism that it is. Our relationships can't help but be the thriving relationships that they're designed to be. And so when you can get someone into that vibration of intentional love, the subconscious mind, no disrespect, it's not creative and logical like we're being right now. We're having a really fun dialogue that's compassionate. But the subconscious mind, it just reacts. It's reflexive. No disrespect, but it's dumb as a stump. It just reacts, you know. So we want to guide the subconscious mind. So when we guide it, it automatically will follow. A quick analogy or metaphor, it's almost like David and Goliath, you know, fighting David against Goliath. It's like the conscious against the subconscious mind. You know, you go against the subconscious mind, you're going to lose straight up, you know, if you just go straight on in. However, if you set up, like David set up Goliath properly with the intention of where you're going is if you're already there, you can set up the subconscious mind for all of those limiting belief patterns, those negative belief patterns, and they fall. They just fall. The Lifeline Technique immediately allows them to dissipate that illusionary pattern that comes from the subconscious mind, that hypnotic trance that most people are in that keeps them defeating themselves or limiting themselves immediately falls away. So, you know, that's one of the main reasons as far as why, you know, one person might respond immediately and another person might respond slowly over time. And another is that sometimes a person is so deficient in eating healthy and drinking good water and exercising that there really needs to be a process that goes along with the healing process, and they need to go through a detoxification of their mind and of their body and of their life so that they can create the world that they truly desire and that they've only been dreaming of up until then.
Well, can you give us an example of intentions that are made out of love, not out of fear?
Sure. Sure. It's unique and individual for the person, but, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm creating my greatest life, here's Darren in his greatest life, and my intention is to, you know, have time for myself every day where I'm, you know, waking up and I'm eating a healthy breakfast and I'm exercising, I'm following my nutritional program, and I've got time with my wife and my children, and I'm seeing my clients and I'm writing my book, and I'm creating my greatest life, and in this greatest life I am happy, I am joyous, I am peaceful. And how come I'm happy, joyous, and peaceful? Because I'm living my highest vibration. This is the truth of who I am. I'm being passionate and on purpose for who I am. That would be an intention that's based out of love. If I would say one that was out of fear, it would be, you know, I'm looking to do all of those things you know, I'm looking to wake up and have exercise and to do these things and with my family and to write a book and to be in my practice and so forth and so on. And I'm feeling happy and joyful, but if I said that the reason why I'm feeling happy and joyful is so that I don't have the stress of this and I don't have the stress of that, then it's an intention out of fear. So an intention out of love is about recognizing that we're more than our body and we're more than our life, that at a core of who we all are is a spiritual being. And that spirit was here before we were born, and that spirit is an energy that goes on long after we're physically here in this body. And so when we begin to connect to the spiritual essence of who we are, our life begins to unfold in a truly powerful and meaningful and purposeful way.
But does a person have to be fairly highly elevated to be able to reach that, to be able to make an intention based? Because most people are, I'm playing the devil's advocate here, most people are creating their intentions out of fear.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to get old. I'm tired of being tired.
Right, and my mom had cancer and my sister had cancer and I don't want to get cancer either, and swine flu is going on and I don't want to get that. And what I say is, I know you don't want to get that. Whoever would, you know, but let me ask you, what do you want? Tell me, if you're able to create your destiny right now, if you're able to create your life the way that you desire, what would it be? And this is just to set up an intention, because once we set up an intention with the Lifeline Technique, then it's about actually doing the system, which uses this flow chart and this healing energy. It's a universal healing energy that I call infinite love and gratitude. And it's by connecting to the vibration of infinite love and gratitude, saying the words infinite love and gratitude, and holding your hand in a mudra, which means I love you, in sign language, and just compassionately opening your heart, getting out of your head, but being in your heart space with infinite love and gratitude, creates a vibration that impacts the water that makes up your body, but allows your energy and your spirit to flow. And, you know, do you have to be a highly elevated person? No. The Lifeline Technique, the certified Lifeline practitioner will actually guide you in creating your intention and reflect to you, you know, that fear that you might be in, that's a symptom in and of itself. And what I teach people in the Lifeline Technique, Donna, more than anything, is a new paradigm of looking at symptoms. Most people look at symptoms as a bad thing, and I don't want to have symptoms. But the truth, and that's how we've been, that's the belief that we've been trained with, stemming from Western medicine and so forth and so on. And I'm not saying that symptoms feel good, they don't. However, symptoms are a language. They're a conversation. And just like you and I are in a conversation, symptoms are a conversation that stem from our subconscious mind. And right now, because most people don't know how to get to the subconscious mind, they don't know what the subconscious mind is, they don't know, even if they got there, what they would do with the subconscious mind emotional patterns. The Lifeline Technique is this advanced technology that not only will get you to the emotional root of what symptoms are stemming from the subconscious mind, but it harmonizes these patterns in an instant. And in that instant, it can, like you've experienced with many people that you've referred to my trainings, It can change somebody's life overnight, where someone who, I've worked with many people that, children that have not been able to speak or communicate due to autism, or people that have had allergies that have been anaphylactic, or people that have had pain or inflammation in their body, and having a session can immediately transform it. And other times it's an evolutionary process where it's guiding a person. Like when I got on, I was doing a long distance session with somebody from New Zealand yesterday, and I knew that I'd be working with him for a while. Right now he's in just such a place of fear, and that's just where he's at, infinite love and gratitude, and I'm going to guide him, and I'm going to be step by step, because he just comes from a real traumatic background and just needed to be supported. But it's beautiful, because on one level we can talk about the Lifeline Technique, but on another, it just literally needs to be experienced to know it. In the meantime, it's just a fascinating new way to begin to understand that if you're finding yourself stressed out, in pain, overwhelmed and what you've been doing hasn't been working, the Lifeline Technique is a great vehicle for you to begin to implement, whether it be physical challenges or emotional challenges that go on in a person's body or life.
Well, you mentioned autism, and I just want to go on record for saying this, that I, you know, worked with families for years, and I know that children, if you are diagnosed, say, with autism at a young age and at 3 and 4, 5, 6 years old, you get a lot of messages like, what's wrong with me? You know, why am I like this and other people are not? Why do people treat me differently? Why do people not get who I am? Why can't I communicate to the outside world? Why am I not more? And I am absolutely 100% certain that part of one of the therapies that's going to be needed for families who are working with their autistic child is that as they get physically better, they need to clear these belief systems, these core limiting beliefs that the children have, because they have gotten the wrong message about who they really are. The whole world has got the wrong message about who they are. So that again is another reason I've seen that work with children, and to me it's just a must, just as important as diet is and so on, hyperbaric oxygen, other things that are working for the kids, the stem cells and so on. Parents have got to do this type of work and clear the belief systems that the kids are holding on to.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, just to, so people have an appreciation of what beliefs are. I mean, beliefs create our perception. You know, so we perceive our environment through our senses. We see things, we hear them, we smell them, we taste them, we touch them, we feel them, we intuit our environment, and in that perception, it sends a signal into the different aspects of our inner environment, our world, and genetically, our DNA is produced in a way so that we can adapt to our environment efficiently and optimally with the greatest ease. But what happens is we don't perceive our environment straight as it is. We perceive our environment through our beliefs. We perceive what we believe. And the challenge about beliefs is just because, you know, every belief that we have, every belief that's on the planet right now is something that we learned. Every belief is learned. And just because you learn something doesn't make it true, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So, you know, the challenge
there's
is...
There's a lot of things that are not true.
Right, exactly. And so just because you learn something doesn't make it true. And so these beliefs that get activated then create these filters that affect how our body responds, but not just our body and our biology, but our behavior and our psychology, our ability to communicate efficiently. So you're so right on in recognizing the power and the profundity of harmonizing subconscious core limiting beliefs that are affecting our perception. That's one of the fortes of the Lifeline Technique. Is it's very simple to get to the core limiting beliefs of the subconscious mind. It's very simple to harmonize them, and when you do, the perception of the environment is then opened up to living into what I call present time consciousness. Somebody is in the now rather than responding to a there and then, like what we were talking about, what Heather was saying, as far as when a person's 5 years of age, instead of responding from a belief that was downloaded when a person was five, now that 40-year young person can respond effectively, and then the body, as it's designed to be a self-healing organism or a person, we're all designed to actually be connected in joy and love with one another. It's the beauty.
Well, would you actually describe what you're doing with a person? It's so amazingly simple that you can't believe it's effective.
And it is. And it's almost like, you know, so first and foremost, I use what's called muscle reflex testing. A lot of people know it as kinesiology or muscle testing. I call it muscle reflex testing because I work with primal reflexes. What I mean by primal reflexes is, like, you know, a newborn comes into this world and they have a primal reflex such as suckling. And that's a necessary thing for, you know, the promotion of a species. If a newborn isn't able to suckle, then they cease. And so I work with primal reflexes because it gets to the core of parts of our body that we don't control. that suckling reflex will be activated, whether it be a nipple from a bottle, a nipple from a breast, or a thumb, the suckling reflex automatically and autonomically reacts. I use muscle reflex testing where I'm pushing down and looking for a lockout response in a person's arm, and in reading that lockout or give way response in that muscle reflex testing, I'm then using a system called the Lifeline Technique Flowchart that, based upon a person's intention and the symptoms that they've got going on, I'm able to create a portal. And a portal is literally a doorway. It's just like, so no matter where anybody is right now as they're listening to our conversation, they had to walk through a doorway to get into the room that they're in. Or if they're listening in their car, they had to open up the door to get in their car. I use a portal as a doorway to help get into the subconscious mind. And then what I do is I begin to bridge the gap. And what I mean by bridge the gap is I begin to bridge the gap between the conscious and subconscious mind by asking different questions or touching on different parts of the body. And when the muscle reflex test simply gives way or goes weak, as interpreted by certain people, I'll simply say the words, infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude. And what's interesting is that muscle reflex test that was weak immediately locks out, immediately gets strong, it has an impact. And so, but if we just do like a demonstration right now and we just, you know, everybody who's listening, just connect to a stressful experience in your life. Take a moment to think about someone or a memory that causes you to feel stressed out. And as you take a moment to connect to that situation, just observe the emotion that immediately comes up. A particular emotion will come up. And as you're observing that emotion that comes up associated with that stressful person or memory, pay attention to the images, the pictures that are associated with that stress. What was done, what wasn't done that causes that situation to be stressful? What was said or what wasn't said that causes that memory of that person to be stressful? And now begin to observe in your body how that physically feels to connect to that stressful experience. Notice how that feels. Does your body contract? Does it relax? More than likely in a stressful situation, just observe how your body responds, and you'll notice that you'll begin to feel certain feelings in your body that are directly related just to thinking about that stressful situation. Give yourself a moment just to observe that, the quality of the feeling, and even right now, rate it on a scale of 0 to 10, where 10 is the most that stressful feeling, that emotion is, and 0 is nothing. Just connect to that. And now as you're doing that, take a moment and everybody, just in your heart, say to yourself, infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude to that stressful experience. Infinite love and gratitude to that feeling in my body associated with that person that is stressing me out. Infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude. And now go back and connect to that stressful experience, that memory. And notice how it feels to connect to it. Notice how that emotion has been impacted. Has there been a change at all? Notice the thoughts in your head. Are you able to reconnect to the thoughts, the images, the pictures associated with that stressful experience? How does it feel in your body now that you're connecting to that stressful experience? And if you really take some time and connect to it, you'll notice. And I don't know if you guys just did it, but Donna, did you follow me in doing that?
Yeah, I did.
What did you notice when you did that?
First, I felt really sad and kind of defeated. And then the positive thing that came out of that is I thought, that wasn't a very important moment in my life. Why did I give it so much power? It was, you know, like, not important, really. So I felt relieved, like, over it, sort of free.
And the part that I want to really make clear more than anything is you were connecting to the physical feeling of the sadness. How did it originally feel as you were connecting to it? Like in your body, how did it physically feel? Did you pay attention to how?
Oh, yeah, I did.
And how?
That's right. My body just kind of sighed and like felt defeated. Like, what can I do about it? You know, like kind of just like defeated.
and did you rate that when I had you rate it? Did you rate it at the moment when you?
Well, I'm a pretty passionate person, so it might have been a minor thing to someone else, but I felt it really strongly, so I would have given it a 9.
Yeah, and so when you connect to that sad and sighing experience, you know, and how, what do you notice about how it physically feels in your body right now?
Well, I just feel like taking a deep breath of relief, like, whew, that wasn't important, you know, it's over, like, free.
You know what's so cool is this demonstrates the wisdom and the power of the subconscious mind, because the only thing that's true that's happening right now is you and Heather and I are on a conversation and all the listeners are listening to this conversation, but that stressful person and that stressful memory isn't here. It's not here, but it was still in the subconscious mind. And so when that subconscious emotional thought pattern, feeling pattern gets activated, and we don't even realize when it gets activated, boom, it starts to run it, and all of a sudden we start to feel really sad, and we don't know why we're sad. We start to feel really heavy inside. We don't know why we're feeling heavy and we're sighing. And so here's this person who's taking good care of their horses and taking, you know, great care, and they want to take care of themselves, but boom, what is triggering them on the outside that's causing their subconscious to react? The beauty of the Lifeline technique is it helps us to bridge the gap to the subconscious emotional pattern so we can harmonize it with the universal frequency of infinite love and gratitude, and boom, immediately now I'm in my power, and oh, body ecology, I'm in. I'm following it. I'm fermenting my foods today. I'm doing this. I'm, you know, and people are able to then live in their power. That's the beauty. And the cool thing is I run a Lifeline session on myself every single day. Every one of my certified Lifeline practitioners, and anyone can get certified, they run those they run Lifeline sessions on themselves, let alone on other people that, you know, that might ask for them as well. That's the cool thing about it.